Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 10 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice show. Now, this is the show to listen to if you are currently pursuing or dreaming about a career in the entertainment industry. And the guest on this show will help you by providing tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to pursue a successful career in a wide variety of show business professions. And the guests on this show include Emmy winners, we've got Grammy winners, we've got Tony Award winners, we've got reality TV stars, we've got film and music producers, film, television, theater directors, we've got casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, script supervisors, stunt people, and always in December, we throw in an entertainment attorney. Because hopefully you get to that point where you will need an entertainment attorney. I don't believe it's ever too soon to have an entertainment attorney, just for advice, even if it's via email. But it's always great to have someone on retainer. So if you missed any, please go to our archive page on the LA Talk Radio website and search for our title, which is Question Reality, or search by my name, Priscilla Leona. Now, all of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And you have to make sure that you get our free mobile app on the homepage of the LATalkRadio.com website. And that's located towards it's on the right-hand side of the website towards the bottom. You got to scroll a little bit, but keep scrolling and you'll find it. And finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show to promote and showcase themselves, their products, and just genuinely help listeners with Sage Career Advice, we are currently booking for 2019. As you know, our shows are always booked 6 months to a year in advance, and we are currently accepting submissions for 2019. So in order to do that, go to the official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, not latalkradio.com. That is where we air. That's the radio station. The website is questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link for ways that you can submit for interview consideration. So do that. We, as every week, have wonderful guests on the show, very exciting guests, guests that you need the information in order to pursue a career in show business. Now, this week, we have, very lucky to have, Mr. Brian T. Shirley. And Mr. Brian T. Shirley is executive producer, among other things. He has many titles, but he is the executive producer of the NSAEN Online Film Festival. And as you know, every week for the past couple months, I have been promoting the film festival because it's just a wonderful film festival. It is N is in Nancy, S is in Sam, A is in Apple, E is in Edward, N is in Nancy.com. And I spell that out because a couple people keep thinking the N's are M's and the S's are F's because I have an accent. I'm from the East Coast. I have an accent. So it's NSAEN.com/online film festival, or you can just go to the NSAEN.com and you can find it somewhere on there. Now, the winner of the festival will get a distribution deal with the Shammy Media Group. And Shammy is a company that distributes media content worldwide through cable TV, mobile, online digital platform, airlines, and physical outlets. And NSAN Film Festival recognizes that there is a growing, this is one of the things I love about this film festival. When I was reading about it, I just thought this was the coolest thing. They recognize that there's a growing community of disabled filmmakers, and they enthusiastically invite them to participate by submitting their films. So I think that is so fantastic. And what's even better, in my opinion, is that a portion of the submission fees are donated to Cheers to the Warriors, which is a 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization. That's what that stands for. And the Cheers to Warriors, the primary mission is to provide financial assistance through monetary grants to U.S. veterans who have been injured in combat. So you're not going to find too many film festivals that focus, focus a lot on taking a portion of the proceeds. Now, I can't say that I've ever personally, I'm thinking about this, I can't say I've ever personally even heard of a film festival doing this. Not to say that there isn't, but I've never heard of it. And I've been a judge for the Burbank Film Festival for a long time. And I've talked to many people who also have film festivals that come to the Burbank Film Festival, which, by the way, is happening right now in the month of September. But that, we won't promote that today. But a fabulous film festival. And I've talked to many festival owners, and they do not submit a portion of their funds to a nonprofit organization. So that's why I think NSAN is so fantastic. That's a very, very kind, generous thing to do. And also they promote disabled filmmakers. So again, have not heard that from a lot of other filmmakers who have festivals. I mean, festival owners. So I think that's fabulous. Now, a little bit about Brian, his background. He is a comedian. He is an actor. And as I said, executive producer of NSAEN Film Festival. He has toured the USA, Canada, the Bahamas, and Japan for over 25 years. He's hosted 3 radio shows and currently hosting the BTS Entertainment Corner, which is a radio segment that also has a column in What's the Story and NSAEN Online Magazine. Yes, they also have an online magazine. He is a writer with several published short stories, interviews, and 3 comedy books. He is the executive producer, as I said, for the millionth time of the NSAEN Online Film Festival, which I think is such a cool thing to start a film festival. And he is currently the lead actor in the award-winning, lead actor in the award-winning short film, The Senator, Best Short Production Student Category, Southwest Emmys 2018. So that may have happened already or may be happening. We'll have to find out. And also several other short films and web series. And his short film, To Go In, One Comes Out, is a documentary. Now, I got to tell you, people, I've never heard of a documentary. I've been in this business since 1990, and I've never heard of a documentary. So I'm so excited to find out from Brian what that is and how I can find out more about it. I tell you, I love it. It's launching on E360 TV September the 6th. So that's just a couple days from now, which is a channel, if you haven't heard of it. E360 TV is a channel on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Roku. So without further ado, welcome Mr. Brian T. Shirley.
Wow. Thank you so much, Priscilla. That's probably the best intro I've gotten, period.
Well, I hope it was worth it, because now I'm breathless and I need a nap right now, because that was a lot. Now, first, I want to start out asking you something. I am, as everyone knows who's been listening to the show for 10 years knows, I am a reality television fanatic. And on one of the shows that I watch, there is a gentleman, and I thought, is Brian related to him? Because surely the last name is not a name that you hear very often as the last name. This guy's name is Gary Shirley, and he is on Teen Mom. Are you related to Gary Shirley? Yes.
I don't know.
Pennsylvania. Aren't you from Pennsylvania?
No. I'm of the Florida Shirley clans, as my dad would say. Yeah.
But I bet you anything you're related, Brian, because there aren't too many people with the last name Shirley. I mean, in all my years, I think you're the only person I've ever met with the last name Shirley. So I bet you if you check it out and you do some ancestry back checking, you're related to Gary Shirley on Teen Mom. So not that that's a big thrill, but I think you're related. I got a feeling, Brian. I just got a feeling. So let's talk about film festivals in general. Let's start by talking about those. Can you give our audience 3 to 5 obvious sounding to us, but not always obvious to other people, filmmakers in particular? Can you give us, give our audience 3 to 5 critical concepts that can practically guarantee a happier festival run for a filmmaker's film for their festival run?
Are you talking genre of film or?
For example, things that they can do. For example, I mean, I get asked these questions so many times. Like, number one, if they would ask me, I'd say, make sure your film is the best film before you start submitting it to festivals, because this sounds obvious, year I field several dozen emails from filmmakers who want to know if the festival that I work for will accept an quote updated version of their film. Sometimes, you know, the changes of the, they do changes on the sweet and sound or the color correction, but sometimes the film has been completely revamped because the filmmaker finally realized that the perfect editing changes to fix the third act. So, you know, my question is, if you knew the third act wasn't quite right, why did you start sending it to film festivals? So that's what I'm asking for.
Oh, you know, I'm of the opinion, I would say if you're going to talk technical sound, that's the number one, have good sound in your film. I know it sounds simple, like you said, but
I think that's one of the things.
Yeah, that can hurt a lot of movies, even no matter the quality. The other thing I think is start small. That's what I've done with mine, because I'm not the best editor in the world. And to be honest, I was doing stuff to have stuff to do in between my gigs. Plus, I'm a comedian. I put out sketch comedy videos. So I would say start in small film festivals. And use that as your practice ground. You know, do the free ones or the ones that are under $10 or whatever. And, I mean, that way it doesn't have to be perfect. I know you want to put out good stuff, but sometimes, I mean, this one film, I could not sleep, Leona, because I kept writing it in my head, and I would wake up in the middle of the night laughing in the middle of the night. I had to get this damn thing on film, you know. So, I would say, start at the smaller festival. Don't pressure yourself to be perfect, but put out the best thing you can. But like you say, you don't want to do 3 editions of the same film and then have it change everything. But I would suggest that for your first time. As I say, sound, start smaller, and I think quality is the best thing, you know, storyline, all those things above technical. Yeah, you want technical, and I see so many things that are great technically. Oh man, it's just, you know, wow. But then they lose on the content. I'd rather have content over perfection, to me.
Right.
To be honest.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what do filmmakers really want from, you've talked to many filmmakers as I do, and what do filmmakers really want from festivals these days, both online and physical screenings? I mean, what can filmmakers realistically expect from submitting to overall film festivals in general? Because I tell you, they have got some crazy ass expectations of what's going to happen when they submit their films. So,
well, on Film Freeway, there's over 5,000 festivals on there, and you have to cut it. Here's what you got to approach festivals as what you want to get out of them. every festival, there are so many now, there's no comparison between them anymore, because you've got some that are cell phone festivals. You got some that are 1 minute festivals. You've got some that are strictly horror festivals. So you got to look at what you're putting out and say, what's my end game? And shoot, you know, I'll even write towards the, I've got ideas now that I'm like, you know, I'd like to get into that festival. So maybe I'll write a script garnered towards, outdoors or wildlife. I mean, it is. I don't know if you've been on Film Freeway recently, but you go through there and, oh my goodness, the variety is amazing. So a filmmaker's really got to look at the festivals. You got to cherry pick, really, is the basic thing. You can't go into just a average festival going, okay, this is the outcome. You got to look and say, here's my film. Here's where I want it. Then you pick the festivals that go with that film. You can do that now. I think years ago, you were a little bit, just kind of shooting like a shotgun against a wall, hoping you hit something. Now you can be more focused.
Right. And there's so many genres, and you have to make sure that the genre fits your film. Under new media, yeah, there are so many categories. Why don't you tell them? Because that's a question I get asked a lot, because there's a category for new media. So I get asked the question, well, are web series considered new media? What? So break it down into all the categories under that genre of new media for film festival submissions. I know.
Wow.
There's like so many. Give me at least five. We'll do 3 to 5 again.
Well, new media, I guess, would be, maybe cell phones. Web series, drone stuff.
Wow.
That's all like computer,
stuff. What do you mean drone stuff?
Well, shooting videos with drones.
Oh, like I did in my last film. Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, we've shot that as part of just aerial footage. So maybe you're aerial footage. I see what you're saying.
I wouldn't doubt that I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't doubt that there's some sort of drone videos. If they're not there yet, they're coming, because look at the cell phones. Now you can do a whole thing up with a cell phone. As a matter of fact, the winner or one of the films that was in last year, and I think Signal. Do you remember that one? I don't know if you remember that one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It was with Will Roberts. It was him by himself. Mm-hmm. That was shot purely with a cell phone.
Well, what about, I keep telling audiences about this, the film that was shot a couple years ago called Tangerine. It was actually, people didn't know this, the filmmakers decided not, when they submitted to film festivals, they decided not to put in their notes that this was shot on an iPhone 5. So they had 3 iPhone 5s, they shot this whole feature film called Tangerine. It blew the film festivals away. I mean, I think it was 22 plus film festivals, maybe, that it was accepted in one. And then it was even considered for an Oscar nomination. And all of a sudden, at the film festival, the filmmakers go, oh, by the way, we shot that on an iPhone 5. People lost their mind. So that was the start of people saying, oh, my God, I got to get an iPhone. And that was perfect for Apple, because they're like, wow, did they jump on that? And then all of a sudden, shoot your next movie on an iPhone. So you can get I shoot, as a director, I shoot music videos for clients. And I shot a music video using 3 iPhone 6s. Oh, my gosh. Now, I don't want to toot my own horn on this, but I'm telling you, this turned out great. But you got to do it in the day. Here's the secret. If you're going to shoot a film with an iPhone, in my opinion, you got to shoot it in the day, because I've tried to shoot it at night and it's grainy and it just doesn't look good. But if you shoot it, I shot mine in downtown LA, and oh my gosh, people thought this was an MTV music video. I'm like, nope. Three iPhones, that's it. So you can, there's no excuse. I hear so many times filmmakers say, oh, I want to make a film, but I just can't afford it. Well, yes, I personally would love to shoot on a Red Mysterium, which is my preferred camera to shoot on, and I do quite quite often, but you can shoot if you're a first-time filmmaker. You can shoot on an iPhone. My God, you can even shoot on an Android. They have incredible film software on Androids now. So there's no excuse, Brian, right?
Right. And you know what? You can use it at night. You just, but that would be if you were shooting at like a grindhouse type movie.
Yeah, and I don't do
then
that.
The graininess, the graininess would be cool then. Yeah, then you're like,
cool, but I'm more of the shiny, happy, walking on sunshine kind of look, like daytime. So I can't do that.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, let me ask, how can filmmakers deliver intelligent and engage audiences to their films? You know, can festivals kind of deepen the relationship between the festival owners, filmmakers, and the audience so that they can get a return audience and as a festival owner, and then the filmmaker can make sure that if he submits, gets accepted in that festival, that he knows that people are going to come back to that festival every year? Because let me tell you, you and I go to a ton of film festivals, right? And there are preferred ones that I will go to only because of certain reasons. Either one, I know the festival owner, it's a personal friend of mine, or two, I know people who are submitting to the festival and I've already seen the project and it's really great. But then there are some festivals where I know, oh, I'm not going to that because it's going to be in a terrible location. There's no parking. There's this, there's that. There's too many problems. And in LA specifically, parking is a big problem. So if as a festival owner and you have a physical venue, I know you're an online festival, which is even better. But if you are a physical film festival owner, what can you do to make it a better experience for the filmmakers and the audience so that they want to come back to your festival? Maybe it's a certain location. You have it at a certain location. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Location's good. I think making sure that you have a wide variety of films, you know, good quality, but it's nice to mix it up a little bit too, because one of the things that happens at film festivals is you're going to get people with their families or whatever to come out and see their film screen, you know, and I think that's the exciting part of it. And I think you've also got people that go to film festivals that are getting into that, you know, they're getting into the indie scene, or they're getting into, you know, just that whole vibe. Because before I even did this, this is the second year for ours. I went to one up in North Carolina where my Veterans in Blue, a documentary I was in, screened there. And I just happened to be on the road performing, and it was kind of like a little bit of out of the way, but I went there, and boy, I tell you, I just never, it's just different, folks. If you haven't been to a film festival, it's just such a different thing. There's a lot of respect for the people there, the filmmakers and everything. And, you know, no matter what's playing, everybody's quiet and wants to give it its due. And I think that's really cool, too. So I think the vibe of a festival, this is the three that I've been to. So, I mean, that's what I've, you know, kind of went through in my head. I was like, I love the vibe of this, you know. And as you know, Priscilla, these things are put together differently. One of them, they had an orchestra underneath the screen. And that orchestra, this live orchestra, this is before they started the films that were submitted. They did a couple of silent movies, and the orchestra played the music of the silent movies. So, I mean, that was kind of neat.
I love that. Yeah, and you have to, if you're doing physical film festivals, you really have to do something every year that's different, just like the Oscars or the Emmys or the Grammys. You have to do something of a different theme. You have to have something that's going to keep your audience coming back, or else it's just a regular old film festival and it's so impersonal and it's not fun. Even if you come with a group of people, you know, there's fun in that, but you kind of you want to go check out other film festivals that maybe offer something a little bit different. Now, let me ask what you're doing, because we're talking about physical film festivals. You have an online film festival. What are you doing to sort of bring that same excitement that we're talking about with physical film festivals, what can you do as a film festival owner of online film festivals to keep it exciting and new and enticing?
Well, the first thing that we're trying to do is get exposure for everybody that submits. I mean, when someone submits, I automatically, and they're accepted and they're selected, I automatically put that out on all the social media. Hey, this is an official selection for the NSAEM Film Festival. So number one in our head is, and of course, as these people go through the process, then we put out the list of, you know, the finalists, and then we put out a list of the top three. So that's one thing right there. We want these films to have exposure. So, but we don't play the whole film online because, as you know, when you're a content creator, that would limit you to putting it into other film festivals.
Right.
So I want filmmakers out there listening to know that we don't just stick it on our site and play it, because I know how that is as a content creator. There's other film festivals that will say, you know, this has been played at, you know, blah, 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 you can't submit. So we're not like that. And I don't down anybody for that, but we're just not like that. We, you know, I don't care if you're on YouTube and it's been there for 10 years or however long, you can still submit to it. The other thing is, like you said, Chamois Media. We signed a deal with them last year. They came back this year. The top of every category gets a distribution deal with Chamois Media. Now, once you're out of our hands, that's between you and Chamois. And I mean that as in, because people would call or email me asking me questions about Chamois, and I have no clue, to be honest. It's,
right.
No, I mean, you've got to work that out with them because it's a separate entity. But yeah, I mean, for instance, Misfit is a horror film that was in last year. Todd E. Braley out of Colorado did it, who I've become good friends with. And he didn't even win, but Chamois, now this ain't going to happen every year, but Chamois said, give us some of your other, you know, we gave him the top ones. They, you know, they're doing whatever with them. And they said, do you have any more that, you know, you could send? And I said, so Misfit was one of them. And the reason I know this is because I'm friends with Todd, but Todd was like, he's, you know, in Walmart, he's Best Buy, you know, this thing is, you know, he's on Amazon. So he's really happy about the deal. And gave
as a result of the deal with Chamois, he's now in physical outlets. His book
exactly.
is in physical outlets. Excellent.
Right.
Excellent. And that can happen. It's not a guarantee, but it can happen. And that's one of the great things that your online film festival does. And I honestly do not know of another online film festival that has a distribution deal with a company. I really don't. And what else is great that you're doing is that I love how a percentage of the proceeds goes to Cheers for Warriors. I don't know any other festival that's doing that. That's another thing that you're doing to stand apart from the rest of the festivals. Tell us about that.
Oh, before I do, I wanted to go back just for another thing for the filmmakers.
Sure.
Something else we added, and we did this last year. Now, this is for select films, but we are probably going to have some live screenings, too. So we did one last year at the Savannah Comedy Review. I play there a lot, and Tom, who owns it, is on our board. And so we had a night of short films there. And
yeah, I think you did my friend's film, Cake of Love Story, right? In Georgia?
Yes.
Oh, she's
As a matter of fact, Cake the Love Story is going to be screened at my church next year.
Ah!
The only reason it ain't this year, yeah.
Oh, my because, Betty Jo Tucker. Does Betty Jo Tucker know the writer? Does she? I assume she knows this, or were you dealing with her?
I did. Yeah, the only reason it wasn't done this year is because they did it only during the summer. They had summer film night Wednesdays there, and I didn't get the movie in time because they wanted a physical. They had to have a physical copy. So Misha, you know, and I told them, I said, "Look, sorry," but
that's okay.
She's got it, and they're going to do it next year. So that's the other thing.
Gosh, that's great. See what you're doing? Look at that. Look what can happen when they submit to your film festival. That doesn't happen.
So we are trying to do, you're right. We're trying to do everything for these folks because I understand how it is. And yes, the Cheers to the Warriors. It was great to get them on board too because of what they do for combat wounded veterans. I'm a veteran and you know, we support veterans. Our whole board, Tom is Navy, I believe. But so we've got several on the board, and we could have our celebrity judges. You're one of them. I don't know of which ones are veterans, but it's just nice to be a part of that.
I didn't know. Let's go back to the. I didn't know you were a veteran. What war were you in? But first of all, thank you for your service. What war?
Oh, I was in the War of Abilene, Texas. All the bars. No, I'm kidding.
Stop it, you nut.
I was in during the first Gulf War, and part of my job was, keeping the drunk women in Abilene happy. So
yeah,
I think I did a good job.
Yeah, my dad, he died in Vietnam. He was Green Beret Special Forces. So I really, that's why I really love, that's why I really love that you have a percentage of the proceeds that go to veterans, because I tell you, you know the story. I don't want to, be a Debbie Downer with talking about that, but what they're going through coming back and being treated the way they are, especially, with the benefits and things like that. So that is such a great thing. I hope you continue to support that and maybe even add a different one every year. So that would be great. Not cut them out, but you know what I mean? But maybe.
The other thing we're doing for the veterans and for students as well this year is we have a special rates for the students and the veterans. So regular, submission fees are, whatever. And then under that, for a little less, if you're a student or you're a veteran, or, if you're doing a movie that has something to do with military, we will take that as reduced submission fee.
Great. And that's on the website and SAEN.com. It's on the online.
Right.
So it's got all of that information. And let's talk about a very important point before we move on to your little documentary I want to find out about. Very important. As you heard from Brian, the film festival is just a wonderful film festival with so many benefits. I would definitely, if I were you, go right now and submit your film, because the deadline is September the 15th. Am I right, Brian?
Actually, I think we're going to go another couple of weeks on that. We're going to go to the least of it. We made this film festival very flexible because, we know how it is. I mean, sometimes during the summer, people are not necessarily in the movie making mode. Usually that's, the first quarter and last quarter because, it's just break time. But this is we designed it to be almost a year long festival, but it starts in July and ends September 30th this year. Last year, we actually extended it to a little bit into October. One reason is because there's a documentary that's out there. It's being finished up about the five Sullivan brothers and the Kissing Sailor, all from World War II. And I won't be able to judge this because the guy that put it together is
a friend. I go through that all the time.
He's a magician, and we just did a show together up in a sold out show together in North Carolina. So I'm like, I've got too much invested in this, but I wanted to make sure that got in. I even asked the board. I said, look, if we have to go a little later, I know that this one, I just feel strong about this film. I said, and they were going to do it anyway because we know how it is. So no, the end of September is late. We started late submissions yesterday, and that will go till the end of September.
Oh, this is great because I tell you, tell people I am constantly promoting this film festival, and you know that there's always the people, oh no, the 15th, I won't have it done by then. And I said, well, there's always next year, but now this is great because now I can tell people the end of September. So you're going to update that, or it's already updated on the website with the new date? So if I refer
I'm hoping
people,
it's already updated.
Okay. All right.
Because so, I told them a lot.
Okay. Well, check it out. And Brian and I are telling you now, the end of September, so it's not too late. Get on it, people. And real quick before we finish up and start talking about, which I love saying that word, documentary. I don't know why. It sounds sexual. I love it. But before we start talking about, let's have a documentary tonight. What are you doing? Yeah. And it sounds like it's a foot fetish. We're going going to have a socumentary. I don't know. It just sounds very foot fetishy to me. I love it. All right. So just to finish up, under new media, so that we can add one more thing. My friend, Kathy Tessaloni, I got her to submit to your film festival, NSAM, because she had, and I had to actually ask, I sent an email, I think it was to be maybe, and ask, because she had made a teaser trailer for a show called A Fine Time to Wine. And it and it was so good, high production value, just overall fantastic, great host. And it's just a trailer because she's going to be pitching it to travel channels. And I said, why not? Submit it. Maybe they'll, I can't screen it, but submit it and maybe, and it was accepted. So let's talk about even that could be fall under new media, right, Bri?
Well, yeah, we put that under web series.
Okay. Web series. Web series. All right. Web series. All right. So why did you? Yeah. That would be fine. Answer that. Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, because it that's what it looks like. I mean, it's, if I'm looking at that, I'm going, this is a web series. Mm. Because, a web series is not good or bad. I mean, web series, as you know, that have become national TV shows. I mean, a web series is really just a TV show. I mean, it's just that it's on the web, or it has its beginning on the internet. So that's really why we stuck it there, because we got drama, horror, we got all the usual categories, and it just didn't fit any of them. So I was like, yeah, that's a web series. And you know, what's funny about that is Josh Mitchell, the host.
Josh, yes.
I think about 2-3 years ago, we've actually corresponded like through Facebook or the internet or whatever. He sent me a film he did to talk about on an old radio show. I used to, the BTS radio show. So as soon as I saw his name, I went, is that? Sure. Thing it is? And then I started watching it. And I went, yep, there's Josh. Wow.
Oh, Wicked
Tissa.
Yes, he's from Boston. So he's got that, you know, that Boston accent. So when I was watching the teaser trailer, he's got the car, it's parked the car in the house. I love it. I can listen to Josh forever. He has such a great accent, as far as I'm concerned. But so we probably have a lot of mutual friends we don't even know about, Brian. My goodness, you got to, next time you come out to LA, let me know so we can have a little reunion, get Josh together and a whole bunch of people. So to finish it up, please submit your film, NSAEN.com, online film festival before the end of September. Now, let's talk about that short film, because as we said, you are also a comedian and an actor, and apparently you already did the film. It was a short film, and it's called Two Go In, One Comes Out, and it's a socumentary. First of all, tell us what a socumentary is before I give it a definition that you don't want to hear.
Oh, yeah. When I was putting it together, It's like I play an investigative journalist. I don't say where I'm from, but it's a northern accent I do. Yeah, I'm called Pontel. I'm an investigative journalist. So I was putting it together as him going out and doing interviews on the street and blah, blah, blah. And when I was starting to think about it, I was like, you know, like Spinal Tap and some of those things. That's what it hit me as. I was like, that's, you know, mockumentary. And then I thought, well, this is about socks, so it's a socumentary. And it's a documentary, so it's a socumentary. So that's how that came about in my head.
You actually, because I thought, I've never heard this in my whole life. You're the one that coined this phrase, socumentary.
As far as I know. Yeah, as far as I know.
You better patent that really fast, Brian, because that's a really cute title. You got to just give it like a broad kind of definition, maybe add to it, but I'd run out and patent that right away, because that's a great, just like when they came up with mock, what was it, a mock, 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 What the hell? Thank you. I can't even say. But I thought, wow, everybody lost their minds over that. Now, you definitely, Sockumentary is a winner. Get out there and patent that. Anyway, I love the title. Two goes in, one comes out. What's it about? Oh, my God, that rhymes. Okay. Two goes in, one comes out. Tell us about that. Sockumentary.
Well, basically, when you go to your laundry, your dryer, and you know you put a pair of socks in that thing, you open it up and you only get one back.
It's true. I was just folding laundry the other day and I got a whole separate pile of socks that have no matches and we don't know where they are.
Exactly.
Is that what it's about? So, people going into a laundromat and putting their socks in?
It's about that problem, but it's done from a journalist's point of view. It's done from a documentary point of view. This Torque Pontel goes out and it tries to interview people on the street, but then he's got a sock expert, a professor of sockology that he does an interview with. And then there's a lady that has actually mismatched sock syndrome because she grew up poor and they only had two pairs of socks for her. And when they got disappeared, she had a yellow sock and a red sock. So she got made fun of and it affected her, you know, as she grew up. So yeah, it's investigative journalism.
That makes it even funnier having an investigative journalist. It's not even about like a short film. It's that somebody's investigating it. And I say, hell yeah, Brian, because I'm tired my whole life of wondering where the hell these socks are going. So I hope at the end of your documentary, the question is answered because now you've got a lot of investment here on my part of wanting to find out what the hell. Where the socks are going.
They gotta watch it.
And it's launching on E360 TV Thursday, September the 6th, which is on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Roku. What time? Do we have times? I don't have a time.
They didn't tell me a time because this is TV on demand, so there's no really time.
Go there and we hit search, and then if we type in two goes in, one comes out, it should pop up. Is that how it
really
works?
What
how
you should do? No, like go to Roku, go do search channels, put in E360 TV, add the channel, and then once you add the channel to your TV, you just go to E360 and it should be under entertainment. I think that's what they told me they were going to put it under entertainment.
Okay.
I'm
trying to write this down. All right. In case people ask,
Apple?
I want to make sure. Okay. So I have Apple TV. So I will turn my Apple TV on and then
add E360 TV.
Okay. Yeah. So to do that for Roku, you add E360 TV. For Apple TV, you do the same. And with Amazon Fire, you add it. It'll be, what will there be, some sort of a drop-down menu, and it'll have that, and you just click it, right?
I don't know how it is on Apple and Amazon because I don't have one. With Roku, I just know you do a little, it says search channels, and then you just type it in with your
I'm going to experiment first before I start telling people so I can give accurate information because that's all right. That's all right. I'm going to check it out. I'll get to the bottom of it. I'll do a sockumentary on my own and find out about how to get to this channel. All right. So everybody they'll be able to watch it. And so are you saying that you're the writer, you're the screenwriter, and do you act in it as well? Or?
Yeah, I played the lead role in it, Torque Pontel. And then I had Drew Howard. He took his line. I gave him two lines and he took this thing and it ran for the whole film. I mean, you got to watch it and see what I mean, but he's amazing. He's another comedian, a guy that I've taken under my wings here in the last 5 or 6 years. I have him open for me here locally or whatever. But yeah, he did a great job and helped with directing some of it and camera work. Lance, who plays the professor of psychology, it's almost like an improvisation with him, because Lance knows me, I know him. I gave him an outline, here's what I want, and then we just filmed it, and you just let Lance go. He's one of those guys. Oh, it's like, okay, here's my general idea, and then you just watch Lance work his magic.
Yeah. I love it. And how long is it in length?
It's almost 22 minutes. It's like 21 and some change.
Okay, so I'm going to try to get this. Two go in, one comes out, a documentary. Everybody get on this as soon as this show's over. Go on your Roku, your Apple TV, your Amazon Fire, and add the channel E360 TV, and it airs Thursday, September the 6th. I imagine it's continuous airing for a period of time, or is it only going to be on that day, Brian?
Oh, no, I've signed contracts and everything. It's, you know, for however long the channel, as far as I know, that I think it might be 3 years. Correct my head.
I'm excited.
And that's an option after 3 years.
I'm excited.
Oh, me too.
Congratulations. Wow. That's great news. Okay. Well, real quick, because it's almost time to end a short film, The Senator and Bummer. And tell us about that. I know Bummer was screened at the Red Skeleton Museum of American Comedy in August. Tell us about those films. Can they still be seen? And if so, where?
Bummer is online. You can go to my YouTube channel and watch that. Brian T. Shirley on YouTube. It's an episode of Binghamton Socks, which is a fictional sock company I made up.
And, are you back on the socks again? You've got a sock fetish. That's it. You're a socketeer. You're a sock, a rock'em sock'em socketeer. All right. There's a sock involved. That is now going to be forever our shtick together, at least with you and I. I'm going to tease you to no end about you being a socketeer. All right. Go ahead.
So that one was done in the vein of silent films. And it was me and a guy named Tommy Roberts, who plays the bum. I play kind of a rich guy, and then a Rick Torso played a kind of a evil villainous type guy, and he did voiceover work for Hey Arnold, one of the Hey Arnold movies, and I was just happened to be working with him at a comedy club where we filmed this behind the comedy club, so I was just awesome to get him on there, because that's what, you know, this is on IMDb because of some of the people I get in them. The Senator was a short film for SCAD. That's the Savannah College of Art and Design. And if you're actors out there, you know what I mean when you're building your resume through the film. And that's what this is. But this thing was done so professionally that, like you said, it won in the student film category, best short film at the Southeast Emmys, which is one step away from being an Emmy. You know, it's just because it was a student film. They get a different award. They don't get the statuette. They get kind of like a block.
I forgot what it
was. But, I mean, that's huge for these kids, you know, to get something like that. And I played Strom Thurmond, the senator, and it's about Strom Thurmond and his affair with his maid, which produced a child that was biracial, and nobody knew about this until 6 months after he died. He paid for the upbringing of the child and the kids' college, but you know, this was in the 1950s is where it was took in place, and you know, that was a very contentious period, and he was doing something that was pretty hypocritical. You know, he gave the biggest filibuster against the civil rights era, and at the same time he's fathering a biracial kid. So that this film encapsulates that within less than 5 minutes, I think. And
wow, don't tell us too much, because we want to see it. And I want people to go and watch that. Where can they see it? I'm so sorry, but we actually got to end. I keep getting noticed that we got to end. I'm so sorry. Where can we see that, or where can people go?
It's at film festivals. I have no clue where you can see it right now.
All right. Well, keep me abreast of it and then let me know. And then I'll do like a advertisement on my radio show.
Oh, yeah.
And now, if you want to find out more about the exciting Socketeer, Brian T. Shirley, you can go to his website, BrianTShirley.com. He's on Facebook as Brian T. Shirley, Instagram, Brian T. Oh, I love how you brand it yourself. I talk about that every week, how you need to brand yourself and Brian T. Shirley and people. Oh, God, that's a whole different subject. Brian T. Shirley, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and go and submit to the NSAEN.com Film Festival so that Brian can look at your film, maybe possibly, or you can meet him one day when he has one of these physical film festivals. Well, make sure you invite me to the physical film festival. I'm excited about screening. We're about to start screening probably later than expected now, but I'm excited because you have some really great, great film submissions, really high quality. So looking forward to
it. We certainly do.
Thank you so much. Say goodbye to your fans, Brian T. Shirley. I love that name. I have to say Brian T. Shirley. I love it so much. It sounds like something you put on the side of a boat, the Brian T. Shirley. Yes, I love it.
I feel like I'm floating sometimes.
Yeah,
I had a blast.
Well, thank you. Say goodbye to your fans. Say bye, fans.
Goodbye, you wonderful folks out there that listen to this incredible lady and her show. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. You're coming back on next year, so you better start preparing. And I want a sock movie to be involved, too, so start writing one. Thank you, everybody, listening. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.